We are our greatest guides. We are our greatest wisdom. We have the most wisdom within us. Each person has their own guidance system, their own absolute immense power of knowledge of how they function, how they work, how they exist, who they are. We're all different, you know. I would for years feel bad for not getting up at 4 in the morning to meditate and chant and do stretches. And what it turns out is that actually I'm a total night owl. I go to bed now at 4 or 5 in the morning and I create amazing music because that's how I function, you know, and I meditate at another time of the day. So I think it's all good to do things. I think it's great to do your yoga courses and meditation because it's all good to do all of those things because we get tools. But what's important after that is to take the tools and say, how does that tool apply to me? How can I make that tool work for me rather than me work for a structure?
Welcome to Yoga Beyond the Asana, the wonderful podcast. I am Wanda Batwal. Together, we will explore the fascinating world of yoga, spirituality, and personal development. We hear and we learn how we can integrate more love, balance, and fulfillment into our daily lives. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to today's episode. I'm so happy that you're here. I am very excited to welcome today's guest. I'm sure many of you have listened to her songs hundreds of times. I am speaking about the inspiring singer-songwriter Alexia Chelun. And for the ones who don't know her yet, here comes a little introduction. We all know her beautiful, touching voice and the warm and calming melody of the song, The Power Is Here Now, which has over 20 million streams on Spotify and 4 million streams on YouTube. On a personal note, Alexia's voice is actually one of my favorite voices in the world. Her songs, for example, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, or Allowing, and of course, The Power Is Here Now, has accompanied and supported so many of my yoga classes. And I remember the very first time I heard her song, Har 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 Gobinda, in Shavasana, and it opened my heart and just streams of tears were flowing out of my eyes in Shavasana. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And I know that Alexia Chelun has touched so many of our hearts and calmed our souls for so many times. Since 2009, she releases records and brings mantras, healing songs, and now lyrical and melodic pop to our ears. The singer-songwriter is born in the UK into a Greek, Cypriotic, and Mauritanian family, making music since she was a kid. Today, we will talk about her inspiration, motivation, and her musical journey and the power of love and music. Welcome, Alexia.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. So happy that you're here.
Yeah, good to be here.
Where do I meet you right now? Where are you in the world?
Now I'm in the UK, in cold and sunny UK.
Is this where you live? Because I read that you also make your home wherever you travel, and you travel a lot since many years. Is this where you're based?
Yeah, currently I'm based in the UK. I travel a lot for work, and also I've lived in lots of places. Lived in Mauritius as a kid, and I lived in Spain as an adult, and I traveled a lot for music. I was in Canada and the States for a while, and Cyprus as well. So currently based in UK, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I have an opening question. What moves you right now, Alexia?
Wow, what moves me right now? I think being up early in the morning moves me right now because I'm a night person. And so being up early is a new world for me, actually, because I create so much in the night that I don't see much of the morning because I'm very inspired at night. So I got up early for this and I'm like, oh, wow, so this is what the morning's like. Wow, so that's quite exciting for me.
Yeah, wow. That's so interesting because I'm always curious about you know, the routines also of artists, like how they create their art and the music. So can you give us a little peek? Like, what does you shared already a little bit, but a day in Alexis Challen's life look like? Like, so you create at night. That's what
you
said.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because it's kind of like I'm a vehicle in a way for creativity, right? And I've learned over the years to be available for music. And obviously I have a talent with music and songwriting. And so I give space to creativity to flow through me, as it were. And what I've found over the years is that the how I function is very much at night, in the middle of the night. So anyway, from midnight, normally even kind of starts at like 2, 3 a.m. up until 4, 5, 6 in the morning is when it's so quiet, like, and so the energy is so pure and still and everyone's asleep. And that's when I'm awake. Like, that's when I'm buzzing and my creative energy is going and all my thoughts are going. And so that's so many, like, more than, you know, 70% of my music is probably written at that time for me. So then I'm just there ready. And then I'll get a sensation of if I feel like writing something, grab the guitar and I'll put my phone to record. I've learned over the years to always record everything because you just never know what's going to happen. And then I'll just start playing and singing. And so then I've captured something that becomes something. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. And it's interesting for me because music is, it's almost like a therapy for myself, really. You know, it soothes me. It helps me through my challenging times. I write for myself to be able to understand my life and the learnings I go through and the challenges and the journey and what I learn and how that relates to my life. And then it's like, well, it soothes me to sing about it, you know? So yeah, that's kind of a little bit more into that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that because I was just reading an interview about writing, like writing in general. And then somebody said, I actually write to understand myself, like,
yeah,
to understand what I'm thinking. And
yeah,
I love that. And you're saying the same, right?
Yeah.
So I think so many people are yearning for having more time for creativity. So what would you tell people, like, how can we tap? Like you said, yeah, you're a vehicle for creativity that moves through you. For example, like, let's say parents who need to sleep at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, how can they make like the space for letting this creative muse or whatever you want to call it, a spirit or or like to move through you? Like, what would you tell people in general?
Well, I think, I mean, everyone's different, right? And everyone is connected or inspired at different times in very different ways, right? It can be through flower arranging, it can be through gardening, it can be through walking, it can be through so many things that we feel creative. So I think in general, it's about just being honest and connecting with yourself as to when you light up, you know, when you feel amazing, when do you feel good? If you're doing that thing, does that spark you and you're like, get excited and you feel good about it? Then you know that that's kind of a little sign of magic to kind of follow that flow and do it a little bit more. And when you have the chance to do it a little bit more, and with all those little guidances and nuggets of life that we listen to our body, right? And we listen to our instinct and our intuition that is always guiding and always the wiser of us to go into our feelings of things, right? Rather than our mind of like, oh, okay, so I need to do that between 11 and 12. Of course, you know, time is obviously infinite in one aspect. And it's also, you know, we got to catch a flight and get there at 10 p.m. And then it's a structure to time. So it's like finding the balance of how to merge those two ways of interacting with time to experiment, right? I think life is a game of experimentation and learning continuously and being open to discovering things that we may not think we know, right? Maybe something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. What would you say that, like, even when I imagine your life, like, would you say you leave a lot of space for creativity that you don't, like, you know, I don't know, structure everything through and like have one thing after the other? Do you like consciously make that choice to have this like space to really create?
Yeah. I've over the years created a lot of space for that to exist, and learning that this is what I started doing, what I've come to do, and what I do, I realized that I need space for that, space to, and for me, that space is at night. It's not solely at night, but it's often at night musically in terms of songwriting. But there's some nights I don't write anything. So I'm sitting there and it's, you know, then maybe I'll do other creative things. Or sometimes I'm just going a bit crazy in my head, you know, because I can't sleep and I'm not writing music because I'm not inspired. So, but I'm still available for it, you know? So it's kind of like, sometimes I do think I'm going a little bit mad. And then the other times I'm creating pieces of music, you know?
It's a fine line in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think you need a little bit of that, right? As an artist in general,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So when did it start that you knew that's your gift? Like that's what you're meant to be here as, you know, as a soul expressing as a human being in this life right now. Like, when did you know? Like, did you know already as a kid? I was reading, you know, in your bio that you had always music in your life. You had a musical background as a family. Maybe you can take us a little bit into your childhood, how you grew up, how it all started.
Yeah. So when I was little, and I don't remember this, but my family reminded me, I used to actually make up songs that had no words, but they were cool melodies. And I'd sing them around the house and I remembered them and I repeated them. So I have like one or two songs. I have to ask my sister how they go. I don't remember. So I was always making up music. I was always playing on the keyboard as a kid and you know, very musically driven. I did piano lessons when I was a kid, but I never kind of got into it much as a child. My family is musical. Excuse me. Sorry. That's not pleasant for a...
That's fine.
See, I'm not used to being up this early in the morning.
So let's drink something. Have a
bit of tea. So my mum's side, she's Greek Cypriot. She's there's a lot of music in my family. The Greeks they're just singing and dancing all the time. You know, they'll finish having a meal and then they just break out and singing at the table, and it's really beautifully musical in that sense, very organic. And as a kid, I was more sporty. I was into athletics, and I actually wanted to be a basketball player when I was a kid, either a basketball player or an Olympic champion. It was that kind of thing. I was into sport. And I didn't start learning the guitar until I was 20, actually, university. And some friends of mine were playing the guitar around the campfire. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I want to know how to play guitar around the fire. That looks so cool. You know, when you're young, you're just like,
it does.
I want to be one of the cool kids and play guitar like Bob Marley around the fire. So yeah, my friend taught me Bob Marley, actually, first song. And I actually started writing songs straight away. And I used to play at the open mic at university. And so I was just writing songs for fun. And then I got into Kundalini yoga, and that's very much has a lot of mantras in it. So then I, as a person already having, you know, writing songs and creating melodies, it was just very natural for me to create melodies around these mantras. And as time passed as well, then that kind of faded into more English writing songs, and I got into that direction. So back to your question of, did I always know I was going to do this as a calling in a way? Not really. It was mainly, I'd say, probably in the past, maybe in the past 5 to 10 years, I realized as time has gone on, how people relate to it and the feedback I get from people and me continuously doing it and then the feedback from people and realizing the power that it has and the amazing soothing quality it has for myself and for others, then I was like, oh, okay, so this is what I'm doing in life. Like, this is obviously, you know, my purpose, maybe is a word to use, or what I'm here to do. So it wasn't so much a choice as a kid, like, oh, I really want to be a singer songwriter. I mean, you know, I go on stage and I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? Why is everyone looking at me? So, you know, the part of performing is a whole different realm, because for me, music is, that play that I do with myself of writing is different from performance, right? So I'm not so much a performer. That's like a byproduct of, as a kid, I wasn't a performer. I wouldn't like go out and do plays or anything like that. I was more just like up in the trees or running or playing football. So, yeah, so it kind of evolved to be like, oh, of course, this is what I meant to do. You know what I mean? Rather than there was no point in my life that I decided, right, I really want to do music. I really want to be a musician. It kind of flowed and organically grew and grew and grew and grew. And now it's, yeah, here we are.
Yes. Obviously, it's your, yeah, in yoga, we say dharma, and you know, purpose, like your calling. And it's, you said something very interesting that you thought you're going to be basketball player, you know, or like an Olympic champion. And that, I think that's inspiring because I think many people think like, I always have to know, or people who are successful knew already, or, you know, and then that you realized from the feedback from the outside.
Yeah.
That's what I'm meant to do. I think that's also something very inspiring because I know so many people have this question inside of them, like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And that, you know, when we listen to the feedback of the outer world, that this can give us hints of what we're here to do. Do you remember like where there's some specific people or moments in your life where you really, you know, you had the support, as you can say, like an guardian angel or somebody came to you and say like, hey, Alexia, that's what you're meant to do? Or was there moments or encounters you remember where you felt very encouraged in this path, or were it more like the concerts or letters from people, or what gives you the most like encouragement, like the feedback you were speaking about?
Wow, there's not any one in particular. But over the years, I can't think of one moment. I mean, over the years, just listening to people's feedback in how it has impacted their life is just incredible. You know, I still find it so fascinating that I can say something, this piece of equipment can record it, and then arrive to somewhere halfway across the world and they can connect with it. And that it really gets to their heart, you know, and their soul. Yeah, there was never one particular moment. Excuse me. Sorry, guys.
I did.
But one thing does come to mind, and it's kind of the opposite of your question. So I'll share it. Makes sense in a way. Like what you're saying inspired me to continue, right? So I actually had a moment, a very powerful moment of what inspired me possibly not to continue, which then actually led me to continue, which was really interesting. So it was a time when I had kind of, through following my guidance, had left the mantras in the Kundalini yoga world. And that was kind of a transition. And I was writing a lot of songs in English. And I think I hadn't yet written The Power Is Here Now. But I knew that, because my first language is English, so I knew that I wanted to write in English. And I was in a bit of a confused state, and I was like, what do I do? How do I still reach people? Because, you know, I'm changing and people don't want me to change, and it's this thing that's happening. So I was in the bath, and I said to myself, or the universe or my angels or whoever I was talking to, like, if I never did another concert again, would I care? And this answer came to me so strong, like, boom, like straight into my body. It wasn't me answering, but it was like, no. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that answer, you know? I thought I'd be like, yeah, of course. But the answer was no. And I was like, and I started to think about it. Would I care if I never did another concert? And it was, in that moment, it was no. And what that did was it took the pressure off me totally of any expectation of creating anything. And then what happened is I continued to play music, I continued to write, I continued to create with no pressure or expectation of myself for it to be anything, you know? And then it became something that, you know, not that it wasn't anything before, but it was, I had such less pressure that all I did was I just write and record. And it's now that those recordings are kind of coming out into the world and being listened to, you know? So, yeah. Don't know if that makes any sense in response to your question. But in response to your question about, you know, that was that one moment, but with people giving me feedback, I mean, it's always just so moving. It's so moving to hear people. And I meet often people after concerts and hear their stories and how the music has impacted their lives, supported their lives, been like a pillar to get them through really challenging, some very challenging times for people. And it's just, I feel honored, you know, to be able to do this and to carry and hold this space for people to have their experience, you know? And that every time inspires me to continue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you share some of these stories maybe, or something that you experience also through your concerts? Like, what is the power of music? And, you know, you also say like self-healing is very important aspect for you, and how it heals yourself, but also others. And I mean, I shared a little bit, like, I cannot imagine any of my playlists without one of your songs.
Oh, you know? Cool.
Yeah, you're all over my playlist at Spotify. And, you know, I know your voice since 10, I think 10 years. Yeah, the first song was this Hari
Govinde.
And it just, you have a very, I mean, like your voice, like it's a very personal feedback. But for me, it just goes straight in. It's just so direct. It's very, like, very direct, very warm, heart. And it's so beautiful. I'm a big fan, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very happy to be here with you. And I'm sure many of you and many people listening feel the very same, you know. I mean, the power is here now. It's just such a powerful song as well. I know so many women's circles where it's played. I know so many teacher trainings where it's played, like retreats. It's just so, you're all over the place, you know.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe you can share a little bit, like, what did you experience through your life as the what music can do, like, to people, and maybe even some stories you received or experience you had through concerts or.
I mean, the power of music is incredible. You know, it's so powerful, you know, music all around the world, all cultures, all languages, at least from what I've learned and seen in the world, is that music is part of us as human beings, right? It's vibration, and we're vibrational. So obviously music is going to impact us. And the power of the word as well, right? How powerful words are. So for me, music, I've come to grow and learn that I generally have a positive outlook on life and I'm musical. So it's kind of those two put together is for me a nice combination, you know, and I'm singing about things that I'm learning. Like you know, like when we were kids learning songs and the melodies are so cool, right? You're like singing there and you're popping along to the radio. And then when you're older, you listen and you're like, oh my God, what the hell was I singing? Like, that's not so cool, you know? So it's really powerful what gets stuck in our brain. And I just find it so amazing to be able to create music that has a powerful message and is enjoyable to sing, you know, because it's like, it's part of our rhythm, it's part of our heartbeat. Our hearts are beating like the music, you know? So it's really amazing to create music through my learning, through my journey. And it's just so magical to hear people's, I mean, I hear about people who give birth to that song, which is so moving. My God, every time I just, it does something to me so special. It's just, I think, wow, you know, just wow. I was at a festival once and this man came up to me and he said, we were talking a little bit and then he pointed and he said, you see that kid over there? And it was this gorgeous little kid running around. He said, he was born to your music. And I just melted, you know, I'm like, oh my God. So that's very moving. That's very moving that I can be part of of human, a human life in that way, you know, that's incredible. And there's a lot of people who talk to me after the concerts or message me about someone they love, maybe passing away, that they've used my music to help them, heal them, soothe them as they transition, you know, and as well, so moving, like to be part of people's journeys in and out is in and out of this human experience. I mean, it really is, God, as I'm talking about it, I'm reminding myself, you know, how amazing it is. And generally people's journey of just their journey, you know, holding space for them to go through what they need to go through, you know, and the challenges that people have and the space that the music I do holds. I feel very blessed and very honored to be doing what I do, really. It's magical. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for doing what you do.
Oh.
I want to say that, and you know, in the name of everyone listening, everyone like receiving your music, because I'm also self-employed, you know, entrepreneur. And I think like sometimes you can even forget about what your output can do to people, and you have moments of doubts and insecurities, you know, just the moment you share it in a bathtub or, you know, and I think it's so important to receive that feedback as an artist. So I really want to thank you from my heart for doing what you do, because it's, your music is so powerful, and please continue doing
it. Yeah, for sure.
Can you share a little bit how the song, I think one of your most favorite songs or famous songs, The Power Is Here Now, was created, at what stage in your life, at what time, what was, I don't know, your own heart feeling in this moment, what have you been experiencing? What was the inspiration behind the song?
So it was around the time that I think it was around 2016, 17. And it was around the time that I had kind of come out of Kundalini Yoga music and performing, and I was writing songs in English. And I was always, I was also learning at the time about the earth. And it was through some shamanic teachings that I was reading about and learning about our relationship with the earth and the elements and how we're made up of everything, right? We're made up of all of it. We are the earth. We are the water. We are fire. We are wind. We're all the elements, and we are nature, right? Nature isn't separate from us. It's not like we go into the forest and that's nature and we're humans experiencing nature. It's like, no, we are part of nature. We are in it, right? So I was learning all of that, and just through my whole, journey, I was in Los Angeles at the time, and I was writing. And as I was writing those lyrics, I remember so clearly, as I was singing, the power of you and me, I really felt the you, as in everyone, and me, to create magic on earth. Like, I really feel it. Like, I've always felt that we're such incredible human beings. We have such intelligence, such compassion, such innovation. Like, we're so amazing, the things we can do. And doing it, like the possibility, the potential we have by putting all our skills together is incredible, you know? And I truly believe we are doing it, and it will continue to be done. That putting our skills together, our, you know, working together really for harmony for all of us, for harmonious living for all of us, is really possible in a very, actually very easy, simple way, you know? And so when I was singing the power of you and me to create magic on earth, it's like, we can do this. Like, we can do this, you know? We can really work together to create peace and love and harmony for all of us, because we have enough food. We have the earth. We have our skills. We know how to nurture the earth and the wind and to create, you know, to create what we all want, right? What does everyone really want at the end of the day? They want to feel love. They want to be held. They want to laugh. They want to eat. They want to spend time with their family and friends and have a laugh and share and talk and celebrate life, right? Celebrate that we're here. We have this, how many billions of years it took us to evolve and to be human beings, surely to celebrate, right? And to share and to love and to care. My God, right? All that evolution to do what the opposite, which is the destruction and madness is happening, is crazy. So and so with that song, The Power Is Here Now, that's what I was feeling with. The power is here now. It is here now. We already have the power. It's not something we need to learn. We already have it. And to create magic on earth, really, for all of us. And magic for me is not some magical, mystical thing that's outside. It's you know, that flower behind me is magical. You know, everything is magical. And then where the elements come in of that song, let the water, I talk about the water and the air and the fire and the earth. That was, you know, linked to the learnings I was learning about how we're all made up of nature, and to let that part be part of our journey, you know, let that be part of our evolution and holding us through as we as humans experience life. So that's, yeah, that's a little bit about that song.
Yeah, it's a very encouraging song and a very hopeful song. And you were already, you know, speaking a little bit about our potential as humans and to highlight the best in ourselves. And yet there's so much the opposite of choices made, especially currently in the state of the world. So, and I feel many people like lose their hope, like in humanity, you know, and what I can really understand. And I mean, I don't know if there are practical reasons to be hopeful, but like I'm also, you know, I think there's the only thing you can do to stay positive. And I mean, otherwise you can just like shovel your grave and just like, okay, I'm done.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you like, what makes you stay hopeful and believe in that potential?
So I do educate myself on what's going on in the world. And I look into things, I go into situations and I look behind what is happening through everything. So I do educate myself on the current situation of the world and what's happening. And so I'm in the loop, right? And at the same time, I go and I also ask questions into the deeper part of those things. And where does that come from? And what's the motivation behind that to get even more of a clue of why that even is happening? And so if I can see it, I can understand it as, but why does all of these things happen, right? It's fear. Like, why does anyone fight? It's fear, right? So fear is the driver. And so knowing that fear is what knowing that, then I can have a choice. So I'm like, okay, well, do I want to participate in that fear? Do I want to get into that? I want to choose whether I want to be involved in that fear. And also, mass media is a very small percentage of what is actually happening, right? The point of media is to create fear. So the point of media is to, bad news is good news, right? It's like when things are going well, people don't talk about it. You'd live in your day and you're great. When you fall over and you hurt your knee, then you talk about it because it hurts, right? It's a disruption to the harmony. So that's when you talk about the disruption to the harmony. But meanwhile, it's harmonious, right? So the media, and of course now social media, because it's right on our phones, right in our faces, it's there whether you choose to or not. You can be, maybe you don't even want to see about it, and all of a sudden you're looking about it. And I'm not saying not to look. I'm saying, how can that inspire you to live how you want to live, to create space for the example? Because the only way, I think, to be of service and of help is to be shining the light, be shining your light, you know, to be an example of what you believe in, what change you want to see. So be involved in that change, you know? And it's good to know about the things that you don't like, But then it's like, well, okay, well, what do I like? What do I want to choose? How do I want to live, right? So it's working with both. It's not kind of blindly closing your eyes and being scared to look at the dark, because the dark is always there within us and we can't live without it. The dark will always exist. And that's part of what drives our light. Yeah. It's fascinating to live in these times, because it's, I feel that everything is like the cracks are coming open, right? The system is crumbling. Capitalism is crumbling. Everything that is based on an unsustainable way is, it can't last, right? It has to break because it hasn't been built on a solid foundation. So pretty much the whole of us, and we're that too. You know, we're all brought up in this way that's capitalist structure. So as everything is breaking and as systems are breaking, people hold on, people are holding on to the break because it's hard to let go. And what happens then? Well, then there's more fear and more destruction. And it's breaking and we're breaking too, you know. But the beautiful thing about that is that then you can look at it. You know, you can look at the pieces, you can look at yourself, light is being shone upon us so brightly, like there's nothing hidden anymore, right? Everything's out in the open. Everything, the light is shining on everything. We can see everything. No one can get away with anything anymore. You know, all the secrets of the governments and all the secrets of everything, it's all coming up to light. So we're able to look at them for change, to change them, to transform them. So it's a fascinating time to be alive, because it's we're right in the middle of the storm. Like, it's absolutely mad. And how to keep calm there, right? It's just bonkers. Sometimes it's just like too much, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, thank you for, expressing like your view of the situation where we're at, you know, as at this stage, as human beings. So many questions come to my mind. Like, one question would be, I think we all know that, and yet we forget it, that of course what is in the media is always negative, and it's always what is the catastrophe, what is like, and that draws our attention and that makes us appear that's reality. That's the only reality existing. Yeah. And it highlights, okay, the catastrophes. And of course, many catastrophes happening are not highlighted in the news as well, right?
Yeah.
So, and at the same time, so many beautiful things are happening and change is happening. And I'm always hopeful when I meet like some of the new generations, like new kids who are always like so self-aware, like switch on, living a minimalistic life. Like, I'm like, wow, like 26 years old, you know, and I'm like knowing all about like, you know, climate change and like making better choices in their what they buy. And it's like, I'm like, oh, like you're 26, like, wow. You know, and like having a super conscious relationship, you know, honest communication skills, like wow. So you know, that's just an example, like what makes me hopeful sometimes when I meet like some of the new generations.
Yeah.
But like, what are moments that make you hopeful? Like, or maybe you have some examples from your travels, or give us some positive news. Like, what do you have some, like, yeah, maybe you have some examples in your life, a person you think of that is like in a manifestation of positive change that is happening all the time, you know?
Mm.
And I think we should talk about it more.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I buy this magazine every 3 months. It's called Positive News. And it's brilliant because it's some good stuff that's going on, right? And talking about it, how, you know, there's some sustainable farming going on in that country, or that, you know, all these other positive things that are happening. So I think it's important to find a balance, right, between the crazy negative stuff and the amazing positive stuff that's. And what gives me hope is that, like you said, like the generations nowadays, they're so quick, my God, and they're so on it, like really incredible awareness, you know? And I think the density is shifting of us. You know, our parents were a lot more dense, so change was harder. And as the generations have gone down, it's easier to change and easier to change. And I think the generation nowadays, they're bringing so much light, you know? And what makes me hopeful is people doing their thing. You know, we're all doing a little bit to be part of change, you know. And I see it when I meet people at the concerts. I see it when I, you know, when I talk to people about their, you know, what they're doing, what you're doing, you know, like we're all part of something that is contributing to our evolution. So yeah, as much as I see the bad stuff, I like to look at the good stuff too, you know.
Yeah.
And you've got to look for it though, because like I said, that the mainstream media is concerned with giving us bad news, because a fearful humanity is a more controllable humanity as well, right? It's easy to control the fearful. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, you know, that, you know, we're in the middle of the storm, as we can all feel. I think at least, you know, since COVID, that was like felt like a starting point, you know. And I know that it makes many people a lot of fear, you know, it even more fear, you know, like, oh my God, I'm in the storm and everything is crumbling. And I think especially if you don't have any kind of like creative expression or spiritual practice or some kind of outlet or that helps you to process what's happening to yourself, you know, like breaking open and insecurities coming up and all of this, what is happening. And I feel like we all feel on some level, even though it's not affecting our everyday life, but we feel the churning and the storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the intensity. I feel like we live in very intense times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you have your music, you know, as something you process and understand and, you know, process emotion. So, what would you tell people, like, or, maybe you have some kind of tip or how they, you know, can in a positive, I don't like the word productiveness so much, but like in a positive way, work with this breaking open, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's always important to go within. You know, and to take time for yourself, because it's just important. You know, everything can go just so crazy around us, and it's really important to take time. And each person takes time in their own way, right? So it's to be honest with how you need the time. It could be meditation. It could be sitting. It could be sitting in nature. It could be breathing. It could be chanting. It could be playing the guitar. It can be walking in nature. It could be doing something for yourself, you know, but taking the time to gather yourself in your heart, you know, your heart or your soul or whatever you want to call it, to reconnect, right? To go there, to find space and quiet, to be able to handle it, you know? Because it's very noisy and it's very loud out there. And it's really important to take the time, because otherwise we get swept along the madness. And so taking the time in whatever calms you, whatever helps you to feel grounded and centered, can be gardening, can be, you know, whatever is the thing that is that's bringing you to your heart and your and a place where you can feel quiet within yourself is, I'd say, to do. And like I said, for everyone, it's different. So finding that for yourself.
What are other spiritual practices you do? Like, I consider like writing music, making music as a spiritual practice, I guess. But do you have other ways you express yourself or other rituals throughout your day that are important to you?
I take time when I need to take time to do my thing. So I don't give myself a structure. I'll meditate when I feel I need to meditate. And It can be sitting, it can be lying. I like to sit and breathe. I like to be in nature. Sit in nature. It's really cold now in England, so I don't really sit in nature. I walk in nature. I like walking. I find that really calming for me. And very meditative for me, walking. And I like gardening too. So I kind of go with the flow of the structure of meditation in my life. And I listen to myself in when I feel I need or want it. I think coming from a place of being through an experience of very strict and rigid perspectives of how to meditate in terms of, very, very kind of strict ways to meditate. I found it limited my ability to understand my own self of how I meditate. So I've learned how to listen to myself in that way of what I need, and taking the time when I need the time.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's, I think, also relieving for many people to hear that, you know, because I think there's a lot of dogmatism, you know, also in yoga, you know, how you should meditate and how it's right and how it's wrong.
Mm.
So this idea of like, okay, that when I really listen, when I'm attuned to myself, I can just like tap into that flow.
Mm.
I don't have to like always, you know, sit on my mat and like do this thing and then I'm meditating. Right? That it's actually a state of being.
No, because at the end of the day, it's a state of being. At the end of the day, if you read all the yogic scriptures, they come back to yoga of the household. You know, yoga is in being. Yoga is everything. Yoga is in how you walk. It's when you're doing the dishes. Meditation is being present. Meditation is being present. So if you're present talking, you're meditating. If you're present walking, you're meditating. If you're present in a crowded subway, you're meditating. You know what I mean? Like, so that idea that it's separate from life, that we need to sit and meditate. Now we're meditating. Now we're not meditating. That's not true in my mind. You know, it can be a continuous state to be in that you're just continuously practicing. And I think what I've learned over the years, because I've done so many yoga courses or different ways to understand myself and self-discovery and Kundalini yoga and all these structures that say you need to do things in a certain way. And at the time, it never quite worked for me, but I couldn't really understand why. I thought I was doing it wrong. You know, I thought I was getting it wrong because I wasn't doing it right. And then years later, I realized, of course I was doing it right. I was just told that I was doing it wrong. You know what I mean? It's because we are our greatest guides. We are our greatest wisdom. We have the most wisdom within us. Each person has their own guidance system, their own absolute immense power of knowledge of how they function, how they work, how they exist, who they are. We're all different. You know, I would for years feel bad for not getting up at 4 a.m. to meditate and chant and do stretches. And what it turns out is that actually I'm a total night owl. I go to bed now at 4 or 5 a.m. and I create amazing music because that's how I function, you know, and I meditate at another time of the day. So I think it's all good to do things. I think it's great to do your yoga courses and meditation because it's all good to do all of those things because we get tools. But what's important after that is to take the tools and say, how does that tool apply to me? How can I make that tool work for me rather than me work for a structure? You know, how can I take that piece of information and make it apply to how I function, how I work, and integrate it into my life, right? Rather than me trying to fit into the structure of a system that someone made up. Someone just basically made up a system because it worked for them. That's fantastic. So, yeah, go lightly with learning, you know, and take from it for yourself and apply it. And and realize that you are the teacher of your own life, you know?
Such a beautiful message. Thank you so much. Your latest record is called I'm Ready. And it comes with 12 powerful and inspiring songs. What are you ready for? And what does this record mean to you?
Wow. I love this record. I really love this record. I really, really love it. I recorded it. I wanted to record all of my own songs. And I recorded it with Moshik, who produced a few of my albums. He produced the Power Is Here Now EP, Just Before I Sleep. He produced the Japhari, my first album, which had a Haragobinde on. He produced The River. And I said to him, I want to record this album just like it's going to be a little bit different from my other stuff. It's just my music. And so it was really nice to do this album. And I love every song on it. I'm really, really proud of this album. And I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready for this. I feel like finally in my life, I'm ready to really just be myself, you know, be myself and ready to show myself, ready to be myself and show myself and be okay with people looking at me and asking me questions, you know, and be okay with presenting myself in the world. I spent a lot of time in my life through childhood and through whatever systems or yoga systems, kind of trying to be someone else in a way, like be the perfect someone else for what I thought somebody or something wanted of me. And it's taken me a while to really be like, you know what? This is how I am. This is how I live. And I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, I'm ready to be me in the world. I'm ready to show myself. There'll be people who vibe with me. There'll be people who don't vibe with me, and that's all good, you know? And just, I feel ready to be myself and to keep on living. I'll always be growing. I'll always be learning. I'm sure I'll be evolving to something more and new and different, and that's all good. Yeah, I feel ready. I feel ready to present my music as well. I judged myself a lot of my music transition because I always thought that people would judge me for writing songs in English and they would want me to stay in the box of mantras in the traditional sense. So I judged myself a lot about that. I devalued my music in English to, I didn't think it was good enough. And yeah, so I'm changing all that within myself and I feel ready to share who I am and what I do and my journey and speak and sing and be me in the world, you know, just simply be me in the world without being scared of or without trying to be anything else. I mean, it's really, it's so much more tiring trying to be someone else than it's just really tiring. It's just, oh my God, I might as well just be me because at least I can relax, have a laugh and then get on with it. Yeah.
Thank you for your openness.
It's
in the beginning of the year still, 3rd of January. Is that also like, do you create intentions like for the year? Like, do you have like a word or I don't know how you want to feel or something you want to realize this year?
Generally, I think this year I want to, I want to be more playful. I'm already a playful person, but I want to be more playful. And, yeah, and do playful things. And I can get quite serious. I can get really quite serious in my thoughts. And I want to be more playful. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Let's hang out and be playful together.
Yeah,
I can
definitely.
I'm also super playful, but I can also get very serious. I'm very much like you in this way.
Yeah. Yeah, total opposite. I'm like, oh my God, why am I thinking so much? Why am I trying to analyze this like so much? Just chill. Come on, let's go and play some games.
Yeah. That's fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm about the same. Yeah, that's nice. Great. Love it. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about where and how can people experience your life like in Europe? In 2024 or in the next years, what are your plans? Like sharing the album, I guess.
And yeah. So I have some dates coming up in February. So I'll be going to Czech Republic, to Estonia, to Lithuania and Latvia. So I'm super excited. I've only been to Latvia before to sing. So I'm really excited to go there now in February. I'm actually recording a few songs next week. So that's been really kind of last minute and a bit organic. So I'm still kind of don't even know what I'm recording. I'm still kind of like playing around with a few songs that I have. And it will be a small EP. It's just a few songs that I have and I really feel like recording. So that's happening. So that'll be out sometime in the next few months, I guess. And then I have a few dates planned for the end of the year. I don't know exactly when they are. I'm playing at a festival in Czech Republic also. Oh gosh, I forgot the name now. Color of something. I should really remember. Color of Ottawa? No, I don't remember what it is. It's a cool festival in Czech Republic.
Amazing. I mean, we will put anyways all the links, you know, in the show notes so people can look it up. They can sign up for the newsletter to stay informed about your next tour date. So
Cool. And it's fun. I'm excited to beyond just do this more, you know, just play more and reach people around the world. And
I love to reach all the other places. I hope I can come to one of your concerts one day.
Yeah, definitely.
Please come to Portugal. We are in Portugal.
Oh, yeah, okay. Are you in Portugal? Cool. Nice.
Yeah, so our talk is coming to an end, Alexia. I really enjoyed it. Is there anything, or maybe you have a message to the people listening, something you want to let them know or you want to tell them, like, just like spontaneous out of the moment, something you want to share?
I'd say relax, breathe, enjoy being who you are, be yourself, and we got this. We can do magical stuff. I'm excited for us. Yeah. Be yourselves. Like, be yourself. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time and energy and presence today in the podcast, Alexia.
Hey, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. And
you're welcome.
Thank you, everyone listening. To this week's episode. I really hope it inspired you. There were some meaningful moments for you. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you want to share this episode with another person, a friend, family member who might benefit from this episode. So please do so. And looking forward to hear you next week here on the podcast.
Cool. Thank you so much. Ciao.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. If you like this episode, I would be super happy if you share this podcast with your friends and leave me a positive review on Apple iTunes. Because only with your support, this podcast can grow and inspire as many people as possible. Thank you for joining, and we hear us next week.